Accession number 26552,
Reel 8. Mr. Kinnear, Reel 8. So, when did you leave Bermuda then? We're talking about your time on HMS Kenthorne. When did you leave Bermuda?
I think we left Bermuda just before New Year. I know we were in Bermuda for Christmas and Boxing Day. It was between that period.
Now, was there any sort of new... When you went to sea, were there any New Year celebrations or was that...
No, I was not to celebrate with, only the ordinary stuff.
You hadn't had your refit yet, had you, at Newport?
No, we hadn't even gone back to our country yet.
It's Newport, well, yeah, I'll just check which Newport it was. So, this is where you picked up the convoy, was it?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What happened on this convoy then?
Well, as far as I can remember, there was nothing happened, it was more or less...
I thought you said the weather was very bad.
Oh, well, that was it. We took that for granted, you see. Oh, the weather was bad, yeah. It's in the Western Ocean in winter, well, you couldn't expect anything else, you know.
So you had these 50 ships, but you never saw them?
Yeah. I don't say that was that time.
All right, I see what you mean.
But it could have been any time. That very often happened. And it depended where you were stationed, because you weren't alongside them. You were on the flanks, maybe way ahead, way of staying. It depended where your disposition was.
So you escorted a convoy back, and nothing much happened in the journey. One thing you mentioned, why don't we deal with that now? What about the food? You'd still be under the cafeteria messing at this time, then, would you?
Oh, we were, yeah.
And how was that working now you were at sea? What sort of food were you getting?
Well, the food was... Royal Navy style, and it wasn't up to the standard that we got when we were in the US Navy barracks, you know. But
you just took your tray up?
Yeah. No, but everything was sent down en masse, you say, then it was dished out, that sort of thing, you know.
And we'll come back to the food when we get on to general messing, because that'll perhaps have changed a bit then.
Well, say that again, sorry.
Now, where were you going to, where did you land up in Britain?
We went to Belfast, if I remember right, so dropped the convoy off, and then we were detailed to go to Newport, Monmouthshire, for this refit.
And this is where you mentioned, can you just sum up for them? So they put the new depth charges on, or extra depth charges?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They put depth charge racks on the decks.
What else did they do?
They whipped all our mattresses away.
Now, what did they put instead?
Nothing. So we were left with the bare bunks, and we had to use our hammocks and open the hammocks out and lay that on top.
Now, why did they take the bunks out?
What we'd like to know.
I mean, were they flammable?
No, because they had flame covers on them. Inflammable covers on them, you know. No, they left the bunk itself, but they took the mattresses off.
And you don't know why?
And we don't know why. Anything and nobody else? Said anything. Nobody told her.
Anything else they did?
They altered all the cafeteria messing. We went back to the general messing kind of thing, you know. We did stability trials, that sort of thing, you know.
And that was after you got... Because of the extra weight, I presume?
Because of the extra weight on the deck.
And this was... So how long were you refitted for? January or what?
I think maybe about a month. We went to... We landed there, they cleared the ship, sent us home on indefinite leave. Or sent us home on leave, 7 days leave. And towards the end of the week, we got this letter, leave extended indefinitely. You know, with further instructions. And then after about another week, I think we got instructed to return, if it was another week. And we went back. And then we were billeted in civvy billets. And reporting to the ship on a daily basis kind of thing, you know, until it was ready. And then off we pop away, we went to Belfast again and we formed up. I can't remember whether we went direct to Belfast or whether we went to pick up our group. And
now, what escort group were you joining and where were you based?
Belfast. We were joining the 5th Escort Group.
And was that at Pollock Dock?
At Pollock Dockyard.
And what was the composition of 5th Escort Group? You know, and or if you remember, I mean,
it was comprised of 6 frigates. The Bickerton was the senior officer. Bickerton, Bligh, Aylmer, Goodson, Kempthorne, Keats. I could have got one or two of them mixed up because there was...
they did change.
We did get a couple of men sent replacements, you see.
And how did you get on with the men from the other ships? Was there a sort of... Were you part of the same escort group or were you sort of friendly rivals? Or how did you get on with them? Or did you never see them?
Oh, we only saw them when we were ashore. You know, and we could be 6 weeks out, 2 days in to restore, refuel, re-ammo, and 6 weeks out again. And then he'd come back and maybe one half the ship's company could go on leave for 7 days. But it was never any more than 7 days. And then back to sea again, you know. But that's how it was. You did. You met them now and again, you know. But so we never had
There's no trouble with them.
No, we never had any trouble with them.
Now, so what were your duties? What were the 5th Escort Group on? Were they anti-submarine or were they convoy escort or were they hunter killer?
Generally speaking, we were convoy escort and anti-submarine killers at the same time. If we weren't escorting a convoy, we could be doing a sweep somewhere with an aircraft carrier, the Vindex.
Now, which one did you go on first? Was it escort first?
Escorts first.
Now, what was an escort? What was an Atlantic? It was Atlantic convoys, wasn't it?
Atlantic convoy.
What was an Atlantic convoy like? What would the routine be from start to finish then?
Well, we would take a pick up a convoy from wherever. It might have been down Scotland, somewhere like that, you know, where they farmed up. And we'd take that across. And once we got through the danger area.
Now what was the danger area?
Well, it was Focke Wulf areas and where the U-boats are. You see,
so the Western Approaches?
Western Approaches, yeah. We never knew exactly where we were going because we weren't told. We were picking up a convoy, we knew we'd pick a convoy up and this, that and the other. And if it was going to the States, eventually escorts from the States would come out to meet us and we'd do a bout turn and pick another convoy up and bring them back. It could be from Newfoundland, you know, and we go and pick a convoy up at Newfoundland. There could be St John's...
Argentia.
What a place that is.
What was wrong with Argentia?
It was the last place God ever built, I think.
Now, why was that?
You went into Argentia, and if you can imagine the situation, you're going in, it's the middle of winter, there's a howling blizzard, and you're surrounded by big black hills, the sky's black, the sea's black, and they went ashore, they tied up. They go ashore, and all we had was this fleet canteen, big fleet canteen, with a pot-bellied stove to warm it, you're freezing. It was all canned beer, and it was icy. And the Yanks were established there, and as a matter of fact, my son-in-law's father was a PO in the Fleet's Air Arm, and he was established there. And I always remember after I met him, he said, "You were in the Navy, Les, weren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you ever hear of a place called Argentia?" I said, "Don't talk to me about that place." He said, "Do you know it?" I said, "The last place God ever built." He said, "Thank God." He said, "All the fellas I've met," he said, "nobody ever mentioned Argentia." I said, "We did. We've been there."
It was that bad. What was it like ashore? I mean, was there anything to do?
No, it was bleak. Because we only went a short night. We went there. I can't remember whether we were there no more than about 2 days. Might have been in one day.
So would there be a decent night, bar or anything for you?
Decent?
Bar or anything for you?
No, it was a fleet canteen. A damn big shed with a pot-bellied stove in it. And everybody muffled up to the eyes trying to get warm. And in actual fact, these Yanks come to us this night. They said, "Oh, sorry, we've had enough. Here, Lammy, do you want this ale?" You know. And I put them down there. So we got about 20 cans of ale between us. We said, "Oh, well, we'd see that off before we go."
Now, one thing I should have asked, I've just realised, what about the watch system? Could you explain the watch system? But you know, how it worked, the different watches and how the time went. I mean,
yeah, with the watch, the watches were set, 3 watches, 8-hour watches. 4-hour watches, I'm sorry. 8 watches in the 24 hours. So it was the 3-hour watch.
4-hour watch. It's all right.
4-hour watch, if I remember. So the morning watch was 4 to 8 a.m. Right. Then the morning watch at 4 to 8. The next watch, 8 to 12. 12 to 4. Then the next watch was split into 2. We had the first dog. These are the dog watches. 4 till 6 was the first dog. 6 till 8 was the last dog. And then you had the 8 to 12. And, of course, the terrible watch, the graveyard watch, that was the middle watch. That was midnight till 4.
So you'd change your place in the watch?
You alternated, yeah.
Because of the dog watch?
Yeah, but it was just unfortunate for you. If you went to action stations, as you'd just come off watch, it sometimes happened, and you were at action stations, and you went right through all that 4 hours, and time for you to go back on watch or something like that, you see, if it was one of the dogs, you know.
So when you were on watch, that would be when you'd be... If you were on B-gun, you'd be in the caboose or on the bridge, or if you were, you know, that's when you do all your duties. Now, when you were off watch, you'd be 8 hours off normally, except around the dogs, but normally 8 hours off, say.
Yeah.
What would you be doing then? I mean, would you be sleeping? Would you be working?
You'd be working. No, the ship had to be cleaned and on things.
Tell me about cleaning the ship. How did you clean the ship, and how much bull was there about cleaning the ship?
Well, it was the usual ship. The ship had to be maintained at all times. So you would be either washing paintwork, cleaning paintwork, mending this, mending that.
How did you clean it, and how far did it go, you know?
Oh, well, you had to wash all the paintwork. You had to keep all the mess decks clean and tidy. They also had to be painted, maintained.
You paint it in harbour, obviously.
Oh, no, you painted at sea as well. It depended what you were doing, you know, what the weather was like, you know, if you could.
So you'd be doing that. What else would you be doing? What other duties might you have? I mean, when you're off watch, I'm talking.
Oh, when you were off watch, yeah. Well, you didn't go to sleep. Oh, no, you come off watch at 8 o'clock in the morning, you had your breakfast, and then you fell in. And you were detailed off for whatever jobs were
required. Cleaning, painting, what else?
Painting, it could have been moving this, that and the other. Ammo, you know, bringing ammo up, anything at all.
And what about your own time? When would you have time off duty altogether?
Well, it was in the evening.
And what would you do then?
Or on a Sunday. On a Sunday, Sunday, of course, you were okay.
Now, what were, if you like, the recreations? What did you do? You know, when you're not on duty, and what were your recreations, you know?
Well, you could either play tombola. They'd have tombola on the forward mess deck and things like that. You could read a book. You know, some fellas used to have a hobby, making things, you know, anything like that. Play cards. That was a popular thing, a game of cards, you see.
What did you do?
Oh, we'd play cards, anything at all, you know. And
you played cards, was it gambling? And if it was gambling, was it serious or was it just a few pence?
Oh, no. Well, it was only for coppers, because we never had any money.
And what was the game of choice?
Well, it was nap. Could be nap. It could be...
Which is nap?
Pontoon. Nap is where you get so many cards delivered, so you've got 5 cards in your hand.
Brag? Is it the same as brag?
No, it's not brag. But there was brag. That was another one. There was also another favourite one was cribbage.
And these would be for pennies?
Oh, right. Well, sometimes it's only just for matchsticks because you have no money.
Now, what about the illegal games? like Crown and Anchor, did you ever play that on your ship, or was it, or what did people play? Did you play?
No. The only time I played Crown, I didn't play it, I saw Crown and Anchor played, was on the Queen Elizabeth, when we were going to New York, and the Liverpool seamen had had that off to a fine art there, you know. And they'd have these Crown and Anchor boards down below, you know, and the lookouts on duty. And if the cry went up, Paddy Kelly, everything went away in the trice, you know, and till that meant there was an officer coming down, and the next thing was everything was whipped away quick.
Now, did you realise, I mean, I know you didn't play, but did you realise Crown and Anchor was a bit of a fixed game? I mean,
oh, right.
You could lose a lot of money at that.
Oh, you could do, yeah. Mm.
And you knew that?
Oh, yeah, but I couldn't afford to play it, so I never played it.
Would you have played it if you got the money, or...?
I doubt it, because I didn't know anything about it, you know. It was just a game of chance, I thought, you know. And these fellas are always winning, you know, the fellas who are running it.
So you thought they were just lucky, rather than the odds were in their favour?
Oh, hell, yeah. A couple of fellas won, you know. There was always somebody who won something, you know. But the biggest majority lost, didn't they?
What about... I mean, did they play that Ludo game? It had a name, Uckers.
Uckers, yeah. Oh, I did. That was played.
Did you play that?
No, I never bothered with that, you know. As far as I was concerned, it was drafts, that, wasn't it, you know.
I mean, the reading, was there a sort of ship's library, or did lads just bring their own books, or what was it?
No, we never had a library on that ship. No, we used to have all these... When we were at the States, we got all these funny comics, you know, that, you know, the Yankee comics were big, thick things, and... Swap all them. I'd read anything at all, you know.
And what about the hobbies? Did you have a hobby, you know, like carving things or anything?
No. Women didn't have the room, didn't have the tools, wasn't bothered.
Did you have any firms on your... they used to call them firms, you know, photography firm. I was just a bloke with a camera, but or a dobying firm.
No, there was nobody allowed to have a camera, only one man. And he was designated the ship's photographer. I think I showed you them two little photographs I had. Cameras weren't allowed. You weren't allowed to keep a diary. I know some people did, but that was taboo. For obvious reasons, you know.
Now what you mentioned earlier, doing your laundry.
Oh, I...
Now, would you use the laundry and pay... Or would you do it in a bucket? And if you did, how did you do it in a bucket? People don't understand that.
You did it in a bucket because you couldn't afford the laundry. Unless you were... Somebody had something extra special that they wanted doing. But you didn't. I didn't send much to the laundry.
So how did you do it in a bucket then? Tell me how you did it.
Well, you got a bar of pusses hard, as they called it, soap. And you put them in, especially your underpants and singlets. And of course your white fronts and your collar, socks, and of course you just got the
bucket. Now, was it cold water or hot water?
Oh no, you needed the hot water.
And would it be salt water?
Oh no.
It had to be.
Oh no, you had to do it. They had salt water soap. That's the best soap I've ever come across in my life. You can't get a lather with it.
Even with the special soap.
Even with the salt water soap.
So you just did it in a bucket?
So we did it in a bucket. You bathed in a bucket. Even though we had showers, but I'm told you that they turned the water off. And you bathed in a bucket. So you got a bucket of water and then you stripped off and you washed yourself with that first bucket and you got another fresh bucket if you could, water, and you rinsed yourself off.
And then where would you dry your stuff?
Well, you did the best you could. If you could... Let me think now, how did we dry it? You dang them wherever you could.
Just in hot pipes or what?
Anything, in a caboose or somewhere like that, you'd put a line up, whatever, you know. Now, if you could.
Were the ships dry ships? Now, because the reason that is some of the old Royal Naval destroyers would have 6 inches of water on them. I mean, on the mess deck. Were they dry ships?
No. It depended on the weather. If the weather was bad and a wave come down the ventilator, that was it. You had water swilling over the mess deck.
And how was that? I mean,
very cold.
How deep would it get?
Well, it could be so deep. You know, it depended on the weather and how much come down. you know, it's just unavoidable. You couldn't do anything about it. It went down them ventilators, that's it.
Now, we were aware, I mean, the ships were all welded rather than riveted like most ships. You hadn't been on any other ships, really. So no. Were you aware that they were all welded, and did you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, yeah, when we first saw them, we weren't very happy.
Why not?
With regards to the welding, because we'd never been on a welded ship. But and all our British ships were all riveted, you know.
But you hadn't really been on any ships at all.
No, no.
Do you see what I mean? So why were you worried about it? Or was it the older ones?
Well, it wasn't. I wouldn't say we were worried, apprehensive. I think it would be better way to say, well, welded. And you saw women in the shipyards welding. I hope you know what they're doing. But that soon passed.
And what did you think of the welding? I mean, was it? Did it hold up? What did you think of it?
No. In the forepeak, that's the forward end of the ship, and the lowest compartment in the ship. When we've been in heavy weather, because they used to take a battering. You know, that forepeak was always flooded. And when we got in there, it would be pumped out, welders aboard, and belted up again, you see. But we had that, and of course you got guardrails battered down and one thing and another, you know. There was always bits and pieces of damage in the storm.
What, from the rough weather?
From the rough weather, yeah.
Now, anything happened on these first Atlantic convoys?
Well, they did. There was always alarms. You always got alarms. See, if the Aztecs reported echo burning so-and-so, and of course the first priority was to protect the convoy. And many times you'd attack and you'd lose the echo. And then anyway, you'd carry on. You kept stationed with the convoy kind of thing. And you didn't know whether you'd actually attacked the U-boat, damaged the U-boat, or what, but you'd kept them down. That was the main thing. You kept them down because they were useless until they could come up in sight where they could aim the torpedoes, you see. So that was the main thing. But this happened all the time, you know, and it's an echo bearing so-and-so. And you'd go and you'd plaster it. If it was what they called a doubtful echo, there was no messing. It was a 10-charge pattern on it. You know, and half the time you didn't know whether you'd battered the U-boat, whether you'd battered the wreck, whether you'd battered anything else. You'd get, if you had a massive shoal of fish, you'd get an echo of it. And I think if you come across whales, well, whales were the size of U-boats, and one thing or another, and if they give a solid ping. And we've actually been in amongst a shoal of whales, and if that's the right word, and we battered them, and we come blowing like hell.
Now, were you nervous? I mean, what were you liking yourself? I mean, you know, you're at sea, you could be torpedoed, I suppose, at any minute. You're in rough weather, which is frightening enough anyway. How were you in yourself, you know?
The weather was the worst thing that frightened me and anybody else. We were always more frightened at the weather. Because don't forget, we were a fighting ship. And it was just one of them things. You say, well, there's only about 3/8 of steel separating us from the ocean. If a torpedo hits there, there's nothing down for us, is there? You know, you just took that. That was one of the risks. You didn't think anything of it.
So you didn't find yourself getting edgy or nervous?
No, no.
But you're more worried about the weather?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my, oh, the weather. Well, you knew damn well if you went over the side and that, if the ship foundered, you had no chance.
And that was a more pressing worry than the chance of being torpedoed.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a pressing worry, but we knew that, and we knew that was a risk that we had to... We took for granted. It was as simple as that.
Now, you know, on these watches, did you get tired?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, dead beat.
Tell me about that. How tired were you?
Dog tired. And you say to yourself, oh, thank God for that. It's coming up to midnight. You're due to be relieved at midnight. And your dog's tired. I go and about 5 to midnight, you'd hear the Aztec, because all the tubes were together, and you'd hear the Aztec cabinet reports and bids, echo burning so and so. Right. Next thing you say, oh, no, God. Oh, and it's just about get relieved, and clang, 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 or about to get relieved, and the way you went to at the action station.
And how long might you be at your action stations?
You could be there for an hour, a couple of hours. It depended. might only be half an hour, but it all depended on what the situation was and what the echo was like. And that was another thing I should have told you about, but there was the cruising watch, and what was the, there was that, there was another watch, and I can't think of the name of it, where it was four on, four off. That was when you were in a dangerous area, four on, four off. And if you were just coming off watch, or due to come off watch, and the alarm went, and you could be at action stations all through the next watch, you know, when you should be sleeping, and you're back on duty again.
Now, did it affect your ability to carry out your duties? You know you're tired, but could you still concentrate? Could you still perform your job properly?
Oh, yeah, you had to. Yeah.
Even when you're on watch, say, in the crow's nest, no falling asleep then?
Oh, no, well, there's no falling asleep up the crow's nest or any lookout, no chance, no.
But you were still able to do your job, however tired you got.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't hand out any of them little pills, because sometimes on ships they gave amphetamines to keep you awake if you were up a long time. Yeah, none of that, as far as you
know. Never heard of them in them days.
So there was none of that?
No, nothing like that. All we got when we were on watch was Kai.
Tell us about, that's cocoa, isn't it? They don't seem to have it like that anymore. What was it, and what was it, why was it so good?
It was big, more or less blackish brown, very dark brown chocolate bars, big slabs of it, and there was no milk or anything like that in it, and of course that was made into cocoa for us at night, and you get a big
how did they do it? What
did
you do? Just pour hot water in?
Oh, it might have a steam pipe or something like that in there. Put it in and put the steam pipe and put it in and stirred it up. Oh, aye, yes. Well, most of our things were cooked on with steam. The steam boilers, you know, one thing or another, you know, into spuds and everything else.
And what was so good about this?
Well, it was thick, it was hot, and it was sticky, and it warmed you up. It took some getting used to, because it wasn't sweet by any means, you know.
Oh, it's bitter.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say exactly bitter, but it wasn't like you milk chocolate or the cocoa as we know it.
And how often would you get this?
Only once, during the watch. At night.
Well, you'd look forward
only
to
it. Only at night. Oh, well, yeah.